Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I said that I'm bigger than a one-armed paper hanger, but I got a brother that only has one arm. So that wouldn't be a very nice thing to say about him. I really do. I really do have a brother. My brother Dan's 2 years older than me. He only has one arm. He lost his left arm, if you can believe this one or not, when he was 7 months old in a car accident. Parents didn't even know he had the car. Joke. I'm in a lighthearted mood today. But my family got T-boned. I wasn't born yet. February 20th, I think it was. I might have the wrong date. 1950. They got T-boned. And amazing story. Back those days, of course, they didn't have to have car seats. There weren't seat belts, nothing, right? Well, they theorized that when they got T-boned and pushed up against a light pole, hit from my father's side, driven over into the pole, that my brother Dan, who was 7 months old, picture this, was 7 months old, was sitting on in my mom's lap, front seat, riding shotgun, that the impact, he went out the window and his arm went through the wing. Remember those old wings they used to have on cars? The car window? 7 months old, he went out the window and his arm went through the wing and severed it. And, hey, Reese, come and join us. My granddaughter stayed last night. And, they said when he got him, somebody picked him up off of the sidewalk. Luckily, nobody in the family was killed, praise the Lord. They picked him up off of the sidewalk and got him to the hospital. And there wasn't hardly any blood in him. He basically was dead. They couldn't do anything with him. Here's my little granddaughter stayed last night. Look at her pretty new haircut. Hey, say, go Jesus. Go Jesus. And they actually, when they got him to the hospital, they couldn't get a vein, couldn't do anything. And again, 1950, this is a while ago, right? Didn't have trauma units like they have today and everything. And they actually stuck an IV right directly into his stub and got blood into him. He lived. It's an amazing story. He was a superb athlete with one arm, and now he's really good at drinking Budweiser. That's his favorite pastime, and catching fish. So I'm not going to make fun of one-armed paper hangers. Because my brother Dan could play baseball and basketball as good as anybody with two hands. He really could. So that wouldn't be a nice thing to say. So it's great to be here. I'm a little bit, as I said, a little bit lighthearted today. Reese's going to stay about one more minute, and she's going to go up with Gigi. But isn't she pretty? Look at that pretty little face. She's so pretty. But Grampy makes Grampy proud. She likes to play with all my glasses there. So we had a good event yesterday at Target. I want to talk about all that. I got a lot of good stuff I want to dig in here with you today. Mike Heath there was trying to gig me a little bit about Carly Fiorina, and I had off the air choice comment about that. I really couldn't care less. I really could. I'm so tired of the Cruz Trump debate. I'm just so tired of it. All right, Reese. Thank you, sweetheart. Thanks for coming down. Tell everybody goodbye. I'm so tired of it, and because it looks like Trump's going to be the nominee, and we've moved beyond that. And here's the good thing: I turn off the TV. I don't even watch the TV. I watch the sports. I don't even watch TV anymore, so I don't get that injection from those leg crossers on Fox News. I don't let them try to troll me into thinking one way or another. It looks like it's going to be Trump, and probably against Hillary. And there's no way Hillary Clinton will win. I mean, so, you know what? You just listen to people. You just listen. In fact, just listen to pundits on TV, radio. I don't care where it is. They say, "Oh my goodness. Trump is going to lose in a landslide. He's going to lose in a landslide." You hear people on the street say that. Now, Dylan's right there. If I ask Dylan if Trump's going to win or lose, he's going to have an opinion. But he don't know. He's only going to tell me what he heard Sean Hannity say or what he heard Rush Limbaugh say or Mark Levin. "Oh, they're going to lose in a landslide. Going to lose in a landslide." Really? How do you know? Well, that's what they're all saying on the TV. There's your problem. We're programmed. Ted Cruz said that Hillary ought to be Trump's running mate. They're the same. We'll see. I don't worry about it, man. I don't worry about it. Stand up and fight. I got in an argument, not an argument, discussion with somebody the other day. I said, listen, I'm far more worried about who's being going to be elected my sheriff than I am who's going to be president of the United States. That's good. That's the one that's going to really matter, boys and girls, who your sheriff is when things begin to come down the pike here. So that's my politics for the day. We're going to go to St. Louis this weekend. We're having a boot camp out in St. Louis. I'm going to stop and pick up our buddy Steve on the way to Indiana. I'm going to get him out there, and we're going to teach him how to be a real Christian man. He was on Hagman and Hagman last night with, oh, my goodness, Pastor Billy Crone out of Las Vegas and Flip Benham and Pastor David Langford. And it was manly stuff. Ooh, manly Christianity. So if you get a chance to go to Hagman and Hagman and listen to that, I'm telling you, that would certainly be with it, worth it. And I just continue to be amazed. We went to Target last night. We had about 50 people, I think, showed up with us at Target. And my wife was so nervous because she loves me so much, and she knows that I'm fools rush in where angels dare to tread. That's me, and I just go full bore, and I don't worry about it. And so she was so worried I was going to be the only one there, me and her and a couple of my buddies. That'd be it. And I said, it don't matter, honey, if it is just me and you. But she says, yeah, but they'll make you look like such a fool. And this is crazy. The local media, Channel 10 out of Columbus. For those of you who don't know, Columbus, Ohio is not a cow town. We're the 12th largest metropolitan area in the United States. Big city. It's a big city. Channel showed up. CBS affiliate showed up. It was amazing. I went over talking to the guy. I said, hey, what made you come? He said, it was kind of a slow news day. He said, to be perfectly honest with you, coach. He said, I wanted to come over, and I figured it'd just be you all by yourself. That's what he told me. So I can't believe that you got this kind of people out here. And we had about 50 people, and it took us 20 hours to do it. I made the decision on Tuesday after I got home from Target that we were going to go back Wednesday night, shout it out on Facebook, and 50 folks showed up. And you know what's really encouraging about it? There were a handful of them, probably a fifth of them, I didn't know. They just had seen it on Facebook, and they're sick and tired of it. They're sick and tired of what's going on. But here's what we have to help people get, and they don't get. We've been so brainwashed, see. And I repeated it over and over and over and over and over. This is not about transgender rights. This is not why I'm here. This is not what we're talking about. It's about the fact that I can walk right now into a woman's restroom. I can do that. That's what it's about. And when you make it, it's very simple. And I stole from Mike Heath the slogan that we're going to use all across America, and that is equal rights, not special rights. See, right now, a homosexual or a transgender, call them whatever you want to, they want to have special rights. They want to be able to be special and choose which restroom they want to. It's a special right. They say, well, you can do that too. Well, yeah, but I can do that now. We don't need special rights for we don't need it. So we're just getting ready to amp this thing up. We're going to take it national. We're going to push. Target doubled down yesterday. They sent another press release that they're committed to it and yada, yada, yada. Well, good for them. Good for them. They're going to be committed to being broke here soon. That's the way that I see this thing, because people are sick and tired of it. JR, just going to call you in here real quickly because you were there last night. Just kind of your reaction to our little get-together out there in front of Target.
I was encouraged. I listened to the news report this morning on 10 TV. You need to can that message. That was an incredible message that you gave in less than 30 seconds.
Is that right?
Yeah. You need to. I recorded it earlier. I'm probably going to write it down, but I can't remember it verbatim. But you drew your wife into it. You drew your daughters into it. And that's really what this is about. Like Mike says, and like you say, this is asking for special. How in the name of all that's right are we even talking about this?
It's amazing, isn't it? It is.
It's like, really? We're worried about some guy that thinks he's a gal?
Maybe one out of 10,000 people too, right? I mean, this is so rare. It's like making a special restroom for a guy that's got a horn growing out of the side of the head. You just don't see them. You just don't see them. But see, it's all messaging, folks. It's all messaging. It's all marketing. And they have been masters at it. I'm going to get into that some of this morning. And so I was like you, JR. I was very, very encouraged. We have to sharpen the message and keep the message the same, to take the focus off of the transgender guy and put it on your wife and your children. I don't want some man walking in on my wife and children. People get that. We don't have to talk about perverts, because you go on my Facebook page or your Facebook page or whatever, and people immediately begin to talk about that poor transgendered man and how uncomfortable he might feel. Folks, we got to get it off of him. I'm sorry he feels uncomfortable. By the way, if I was a man who thought I was a woman, I would naturally feel uncomfortable, wouldn't you? Come on! So he wants to make me feel uncomfortable. He wants to make my wife feel uncomfortable, my daughter feel uncomfortable. He wants to take his discomfort and puke it on me. I say, pal, I'm sorry that you feel that way. Bruce Jenner, I'm so sorry I'm sorry, brother. Bruce, doggone, I'm sorry, but stay out of my wife's potty, will you please? Huh? All the stupid arguments people make. Oh, just stupid, stupid arguments. Well, why would you even go into a public restroom? They say to me, why would you even do that? Why does it bother you? Well, sometimes I have to pee when I'm out. Sometimes I got to go. I'm not going to hold it till I get home. And my wife's even worse. And when my wife goes in the restroom, she don't want some pervert coming in on her. And they said, well, what about all the priests that are raping people? What about all the child? Well, what about them? Well, we want to open up, let them come right on the restroom. Come on. Some idiot said to me last night, well, Ted Bundy. Said, what about Ted Bundy? He was going around raping women. I said, well, yeah, we should have made bathrooms available to him. It would have been a lot easier. He could have just walked in there, strangled him, and left, and nobody would have known and done it. It would have been so much easier for him. We're just so stupid. We don't know how to think. And you know what else? Christians don't know how to make the argument. That's where we're losing so much. We don't know how to make the argument, guys. We don't. We're learning. We're getting better. I got some, you know, Larry's not with us today. Larry Richardson, he called OSHA yesterday. He called the federal OSHA. He called the state OSHA. I wish Larry could be with us. Maybe when he gets back from D.C., I think is where when he can further explain it. He called OSHA. And OSHA said, listen, we have made no directives, no rulings at all about restrooms. We don't, no. Our policies are what they are. We have not made not one ruling about gender restrooms. And then we find out that OSHA did put out a statement, and the statement had a very strong word in it called should. You should wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. Not that you have to. You should. So businesses should find a place for transsexuals to go to the restroom. They should. And so, see, they take that law, and Target makes it the law of the land. Somewhere, if you follow the monkey trail, there's a pervert at Target. Promise you. Some pervert there somewhere. I don't want them to go broke. I feel bad for the little girls that have jobs there and all that kind of stuff. Who wants them to go broke? We got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. Any comments before I dig into the word here? Let's be a little bit more lighthearted. My wife said this to me yesterday. That's why I love her so much. The last couple of days, man, it's just been a heavy cloud on me. Now, I think there's been a heavy cloud on me because, number one, I understand the seriousness of what we're doing. And number two, I understood guys, when you are in serious spiritual warfare, there's a heaviness that comes on you. It's just the reality. It's like you hunker down and hang on. And I was hunkering down and hanging on for what press was going to come. It's probably still more that's going to come. But just the whole idea of going and doing what we did and maybe being the only guy showing up and looking like a fool again and making fun of my son and my daughters, they got to read it, and all my relatives say, oh, what's Uncle Dave after? What's he doing again? And all of that stuff. And even though in my heart I know I'm doing the right thing, and I know that nobody will stand up for what's right, I know I'm a rare bird, we're rare birds, I understand all that, doesn't make it any easier. It's like if you're a MMA fighter, or you're Cassius Clay, Lewiston, Maine, no matter how, you know, no matter what, how big a stage you're on, it ain't fun to go out there and let Sonny Liston hit you. It isn't fun. And that's where a lot of pastors get all, you know, I hear from them all the time. That Dobbenmeyer, he's just a media hog. He chasing the cameras. Hey, brother, come on, man. I say that, pastor. Come on. I'll get you on the, you want to come with me? I'll get you on the TV. You want to get on TV? Oh, no, brother. No, brother. I'm not called to do that. Then shut the hell up and leave me alone. And it makes them mad. Because something in the Christian world, when a controversy breaks up in the cultural war, it makes them mad. They're jealous that the media calls me. Why do they call me? Because they know I'll tell them what I think. So if you wanna get your face on TV there, pastor, whoever you are, step out, brother. Step out where the big dogs roam, and all of a sudden, you're going to be on the main stage. That's the way it works. What are you going to say, Raj?
Oh, I just really think you need to get Michelle more involved, because you're just downright ugly on TV. We got to get a little better looks going, okay?
But, yeah, and you know what else happens, Roger? They look at her and say, they say, how could that woman put up with that fat little guy? What is going on there?
You just, when I watch the videos and I kind of see you pudgy walking around.
Stop that. He ain't no bargain. You know,
and, you know, we tell Michelle we need more of her.
She's listening up there. Michelle, they want more of you.
They want more and less of, and you're not bad for radio. I'll let you have radio.
But you know what? JR's right. Michelle can make the argument about women and children. That'd be powerful. By the way, Doc Johnson's wife, Elizabeth, who's a beautiful mother of 10, she got a chance to make the argument yesterday. And boy, they don't like that one, man. They like those ugly, fat women with skirts clear down to their ankles and bun hair. That's what they want Christians to be. They don't want Christians to be nice-looking, articulate, educated women. So you're right in that aspect, Roger. We have to get that picture of women out there a little bit more.
You know, one of the radio stations is running a hot mama contest. And if you're a mother, you get to send your picture in, and they're going to choose a hot mama.
Uh-huh.
And we need some of those hot mamas to be concerned about the bathrooms.
Yes, we do, brother.
You know, because I really think a mother and a mother-daughter can really speak to this issue as well as a father-daughter. And there was a guy, I saw a video last night, a father talking about, he said, listen, if my little 10-year-old girl goes in that bathroom and some guy follows, he says, I don't, you know, it's going to get ugly in there.
Yep.
America across the heartland is not going to just pussyfoot around with this thing.
No, Joe Sixpack ain't putting up with it, right? Now, here's the problem. Joe Christian is. Mm. Joe Christian is just going to love them as they rape his daughter. Or as one of the stupid reporters said to me yesterday, well, coach, do you have any reports of any molestations taking place inside of Target here in Heath? I said, you dummy, are we supposed to wait till one happens? Is that what you're telling me? Let's wait till one happens and then we'll be concerned about it. I'm telling you, it's spiritual. They're so stinking brainwashed. Psalm 2. Go ahead and turn there so we can get into this. Other words, just chat back and forth all day. Psalm 2.
Praise the Lord.
I want to give you a scouting report today, fellas. I want to give you a scouting report on the enemy. Because when I was coaching, that's what you did. You got yourself a scouting report, figured out what the other team was going to do. And once you figured out what the other team was going to do, then you had a chance to win. You didn't have a chance to win. I'll never forget back in 1984, I was coaching a girls' basketball team. We made it to the state semifinals. And although girls' basketball wasn't a big deal, it was kind of a big deal. It was starting to get big. I had the best girls player I'd ever seen named Jennifer Grandstaff. She was really, really good. We made it to the Final Four at St. John Arena on the Ohio State campus. We're playing Oroville. Orville had a record like 19-3, so they were good. They had a big girl inside named Rhonda Winter. She was 6'3", a girl 6'3". Think about that. And we had a good scrappy little team that trapped and pressed, and we played like boys. And I didn't have anybody to scout for me. When we were playing in the semifinal game, I didn't have anybody to go scout our opponent. You know what I'm talking about? And so this next week we're playing at St. John Arena against Orville, and I'd never seen him. Now, I'd talked to people. They do this, they do this. I'd called other coaches, but I had never set my eyes on Orville. And when we got into the game, we fell behind early, and then I realized we're better than these guys. Jeez, I wish I'd seen these guys. All they had was that big 6'3 girl and one guard, and they slowed the game down, and they got ahead of us, and we couldn't make any shots, and then we put a furious run at the end and almost Coleman won, and I've regretted that to this day. Had I gone and watched Orville, we'd have beat them because I'd have known what they would do. So I always use that. You got to know your enemy. It's first rule of war, know your enemy. You don't know your enemy, you're going to lose. Promise you, they are. So I'm in Psalm 2. Psalm number 2, and I'm trying to find me a good reader here today. I'll just read it. How about that? You there, boys? We're going to do a scouting report today. I don't know if you saw this or not. Our YouTube watches are really getting up. I don't know if people are watching it all the way through, but people are starting to watch us. Praise the Lord. And people who comment to me talk about you guys. Not me. They say, you guys say this and you guys say that. Well, great. Cool. We're a gang. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? I could preach right there. There he goes again, calling them heathens. Huh? I can't do it. I couldn't call them heathens. That wouldn't be very Christ-like. But David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Vain means foolish or empty. It's going on in the political world. You know what a vain thing is? Thinking Carly Fiorina is going to win for Cruz. That's a vain thing. Here we go. Number 2. The kings of the earth. Better realize right now that there are kings of the earth. Now, please see this. It doesn't say the kings on the earth. The kings of the earth. And the rulers take counsel together. Conspiracies. Against the Lord and against his anointed. So we see right there that the devil's team, they're working together. And who are they working together against? Why, not only the Lord, but us. They're taking counsel together. How do we stop that dude? How we that crazy coach? Jeez, how are we going to stop him? Well, let's do it with ridicule. Let's do it with personal attack. Let's sick the IRS on him. They're conspiring how they're going to do it. Don't be surprised when something comes. They're playing too. They're playing to win. Verse 3. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. See, the only way that you're going to be intimidated by somebody who's saying bad things about you is if you give a damn who they are. You know, I don't give a damn what those people are saying about me. They got no impact on me in my life. I pick up the Newark Advocate and I read what some bit reporter wrote about me. What is that? I'm going to break those cords off. I got no control over me. Because here's a good thing I know, that when an article appears in the Newark Advocate like it did today about what we did yesterday, those who have eyes to see, they understand. And why am I trying to convince those other people who are idiots to begin with? Right? Break those cords off. Don't let them do it. Okay. But look, here's what I like. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He's watching. He's saying, are you kidding me? Look what they're doing. They think that's going to work. And the Lord's laughing. They think that they're going to shut Dobmeier up by writing something bad about him. Are you kidding me? The Lord's laughing. It makes me feel good. the Lord shall have them in derision. The devil's in derision. I don't know if we just saw it and realized it. He's especially in derision if we begin to fight back. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in their sore, in his sore displeasure. Their day's coming, boys. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion, and I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. Isn't that good? I'm the Lord's boy. Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possessions. Doesn't that encourage you? He said, pardon me. Let me get crass for a minute. The Lord says, hey, coach, come on. Let's kick their ass. That's the Lord saying. 9. You're going to break them with a rod of iron? You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. But the wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed. Be wise, I'm sorry, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, not that Son, the S-O-N, lest he be angry and you perish from that way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Because listen, I showed up at Target yesterday. My wife was fretting. Everybody's fretting. Nobody's going to come. Nobody's going to come. I said, I don't give a damn. I'm gone. I'm sick of it. I'm going. I don't care if anybody comes. And what happens? JR comes, and Norm comes, and Pastor Bill comes, and people I don't even know come. And the next thing I know, I'm standing and looking around, and the Lord's high-fiving me, said, see, just go. I'm here. Go, man. Let's go. I got more than you even know. Come on. Somebody blow the trumpet. Let's go. Let's go get him, coach. That's what I think the Lord's saying to all of us. But see, we sit back and we look at the other team. We think, oh, they're so big. How can we possibly? Oh, they're so organized. They've got the press on their side. They've got the government on their side. They've got the police officers on their side. What can we ever do about that? How are we ever going to win? We just found out the Lord, more than anything, wants us to win. He wants us to win. Come on, boys. Let's go get them. So be encouraged by that, okay? Comments? Because I want to take this someplace else. I want to do a little scouting report. Steve, Rogers, go ahead, Roger. You're unmuted. I thought you wanted on.
I did. I think of our teaching about David a couple weeks ago when he, you know, kind of looked at the crowd and said, you know, what do you boys do around sitting around here? This guy's making fun of you.
Yep.
And then I think of our teaching about a week ago about Paul, how he was deserted.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the 2/3 of the gospel that he wrote. It changed the world. It changed my life. The documentation of our Lord and Paul's writings and his teachings. Paul did not see his fruit completely. He will. But, you know, the legacies lay out, and you never know what that legacy will be. So, you know.
So I saw this. Steve, we'll come to you in a minute. I think you went on there. I saw this last night. I should have called us up and talked about it. 57 homosexuals got arrested in Raleigh, North Carolina yesterday. 57 of them protesting. Now, remember, study your enemy. Study your enemy. Why would 57 homosexuals get arrested? Dylan? Why would 57 homosexuals get arrested?
Make a point.
Because they know it works. Mm-hmm. Right? They know it works. They're making a point, and they know that it works. So I've wrestled across in my mind a little bit over the last few days. Maybe I should have been arrested. But you know what? Listen, it's going to be better than that. Because we're going to see very soon there's going to be 57 Christian men in restrooms being arrested. Then they'll know we're serious. Somebody say amen on that. Somebody say amen. See, the homosexuals, they're not worried about getting arrested. They know that's how you – they know that that's how social justice comes. They know that. Martin Luther King knew that. They all know that. We Christians, we don't want to be arrested because it'll make Jesus look bad. Well, then Jesus must have been really, really ashamed of Paul. And, by the way, Jesus was arrested. What are you going to say, Steve? Did you want to say something, Stephen? I thought you did.
Hey, Coach, I want to make a point here for those folks that are hesitating.
Yeah.
And this is a fact. You're either going to go to this battle or this battle is going to come to you. There's a lot of Christians say they don't get involved in politics. Well, guess what, folks? If you don't get involved in politics, it'll get involved in you, and it already is.
It's coming to your grandchildren. That's a sad thing. Your children and your grandchildren are going to pay for your cowardice.
Generational. Yep.
Yeah, I think about that every time I go out because I would be dishonest to you if I told you there weren't times I didn't feel like blinking. So there aren't times when I say, Lord, I have to go. Are you kidding me? Lord, get somebody else do it. A lot of times I feel that way. But I keep it on my phone. I know you guys have seen it before. Whoops. Oh, hang on. Oh, it's all covered. My kids, my grandkids are underneath my phone. Every day I look at my phone, I see my grandkids. That's about them. I'll go to jail for them. I'll go stand up against Target for them. That's what a grandpa does, right? Okay, anything else? Good comments. Homos get arrested because they know it works. Go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just going to let you know I called the Target by me yesterday, too.
Good. What'd they say?
It is confirmed that their policy is what you went to your Target. And I asked her, how would you ensure the safety of my two little girls? And she said, we can assure you the safety. And I said, well, how do you ensure the safety from somebody who's a pervert or a sex offender? And they basically told me that I can either, one, get a hold of the higher-ups there, or go get a cop. And I said, well, that doesn't help prevent something beforehand. And she said, well, we have a bathroom that's just a single bathroom that you can lock. And I said, oh, that's fine. But the emphasis was, can I choose, if I'm a man, can I walk in there to identify myself as a woman? It is another, that's basically...
Guys, listen, this is important for us to understand. This is a local issue, right? It's a local issue. It's not a federal issue. Somebody went on there, on my Facebook page, typed in there, oh, yeah, well, we'll get Trump as president. He's for these restrooms. Well, Donald Trump ain't making policy in Heath, Ohio, okay? Wake up. He'll make policy in Heath, Ohio, if you sit on your butt and let him do it. That's why we got a sheriff and a police chief and a mayor. So that Donald Trump don't make our policy, right? Come on, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But we want to sit around and have the king mandate down to us what we... Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. We think Trump or Cruz or somebody's going to end all this. No, it's going to end when we say it is. Cool. All right, now I'm going to try to do this screen share, a little scouting report here, okay? Some of you have probably heard about it, but have never seen it. And let me do this. I'm going to take you to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. The 12 things. 12 things. And guys, I just want you to sit back as we read through these. Remember, this is Obama's playbook. It's Hillary's playbook. In fact, when Saul Alinsky wrote Rules for Radicals, I don't know if you know this, he dedicated it in the foreword, he dedicated it to Lucifer, saying, yeah, tip of the cap, he said, to the greatest rebel of them all, Lucifer. Saul Alinsky, in his book, Rules for Radical. It's a playbook of Obama and Hillary and basically everybody on the left, they've adopted it. Okay? Did you have that up there for me? Did somebody pull that up? Or it's on my page. Is this it? These are the rules. Can you guys see that? Or do I need to do something? I need to share it or something, don't I?
No, I got it. It's right here.
Okay, here you go. Let's just read down through these, okay? Number one, think about this now, why we're losing. These are the rules that we have to follow if we are going to, this is what they're doing to us. Jared, can you maybe unhighlight it? I think I could read it better. Yeah, there you go. Number one, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Have-nots must build power from flesh and blood. Rule number one, right? Listen, the homosexual agenda is winning because of the perceived power they have. They don't really have any power at all, but everybody thinks they do. Now, why do they think they do? Because 52 of them get arrested. That's why. How hard would it be to get 52 Christians to be arrested? Would it be easy to find 52 Christians? How many of them will even hold a sign? They won't even hold a sign. So we're losing because we don't think we have any power at all. Right? With me? I don't bog down. This is a good education. Number two, think about Obama. Think about Hillary. And think about the left and what they're doing to us, okay? Number two, wow, never go outside the expertise of your people. It results in confusion, fear, and retreat. Feeling secure adds to the backbone of anyone. So when I take people to the streets, I don't tell them to speak to the reporters. What do I tell them to do? Direct the reporters to me. Why? I've got the expertise. As JR said, I know how to say, what to say, I know the sound bite. If they just stick a microphone in the face of the average person, they wet their pants. So you have to assure people, listen, you don't have to do anything but stand there and hold a sign. Can you just do that? That's all I need you to do. Can you just stand there and fold your arms and stand behind me, because we'll get make sure that the expert is the one who does the talking. You understand, guys? This is so simple. This is so simple. When I was coaching football, if our left guard went down and got hurt, I was looking for a place filler. Just some guy to go and stand there so there wasn't a great big hole there. He may not have been the best player, but he was a space holder. And we certainly didn't run his way. We started running the other direction. So don't make people go outside what they're able to do. And I tell people when they share the gospel, this is critical too. When I'm trying to witness to somebody, or I'm on the street and I'm getting a debate about abortion, or you pick whatever it is, I always say this. Tell them what you know. Don't tell them what you don't know. In other words, when they come up to me out on the street and say, well, coach, what do you think about transgenders? Shouldn't a transgender man have a right to be able to go in the restroom? I don't even go there. I don't even go there. I said, I don't know about that, but let me tell you what I do know. I don't want some man walking in on my daughter in the restroom. Tell them what you know. Don't respond to what they're asking. Don't go there. Stay in your area of expertise. Stay on point. Well, shouldn't a man have a right to be able to go into a lady's bathroom? Yeah, but my wife also has the right to be able to pee in private. There's two rights going on here. Equal rights, not special rights. Got it? Don't go fight on their turf. Bring them on yours. Number three, rules for radical. Obama, Hillary, the left. Whenever possible, I'm sorry. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. Drag them in an area that you know about that they don't know about. Make them fight on your turf. Got it? This is so easy. Guys, this is so easy. It takes some training to do it. Control the debate. Don't fight on their field. Make them fight on yours. We Christians, we always want to be honest and answer their questions. You watch politicians. You ever notice when you watch a politician, they ask a politician a question, and he gives a long answer, but he didn't answer the question? Why? Because he's controlling the debate. He's controlling it. Mr. Cruz, what do you think about the fact that illegal immigrants are coming across the border? What's your solution for that? Well, let me tell you, Donald Trump likes to say this, and Donald Trump likes to say that, and history shows this, and history shows that, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that, and never answered the daggone question, and nobody knows it. He stayed on his area of expertise. Number four, make the enemy, this is a killer. Make the enemy live up to his own book of rules. If the rule is that every letter gets a reply, then send them 30,000 letters. If I say this, I don't answer every email. Because if I answer every email, I wouldn't get anything else done. They would bombard me with emails, and that's all I'd be able to do. Because I gave them my word that I would answer every email, right? You can kill them with this because no one can possibly obey all of their own rules. So I get the stupid out on the street, and they say, well, Christians aren't supposed to judge. Well, see, there they are trying to make me play by what they perceive the rules to be. And I'm so stupid, I think Christians aren't supposed to judge, and so I can't answer that question. And brother, aren't you supposed to love your neighbor? Brother, aren't you supposed to be tolerant? And what about rape and incest? You understand? They try to make us play by their rules. Because we don't understand the game, we fall into that trap and we get flummoxed. Man, this is some good stuff. Five. This is powerful, fellas. This is it. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. Ridicule. Make fun of them. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as the key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. By the way, y'all been watching Donald Trump? He kicks butt right by that. What? Lion Ted, Little Marco, Carly Farina's ugly, Megyn Kelly's got blood coming out of her eyes. He's constantly ridiculing. What? There is no defense. You have no defense. No defense. It's the most powerful weapon in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. I use it when I'm street preaching. You humiliate them. Break them down. Number six. A good tactic is one your people enjoy. How about that? They'll keep doing it until, without urging, and come back to do more. They're doing their thing and will even suggest better ones. Make the activity fun. If it's fun, they'll come back and do it again. I when we take guys to the streets for the first time, I say, come on, just watch. Just watch what I do. And then whenever you feel comfortable, just, you know, do whatever you think. And when it's over, what do they say? Hey, man, coach, that wasn't so bad. That was good. Call me next time. I'd like to come back. Number eight. Seven, I'm sorry. The tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news. Strike and get out. Strike and get out. Strike and get out. So we're going to go to other targets now. We've kind of worn one out here, maybe in Columbus or in Heath. We'll go to another one. We're going to go to Stevens' neighborhood. Do it in Stevens. Then we're going to come to Jesse's neighborhood because it'll be fresh news in your neighborhood, Jesse. You understand that? This is how it works. Keep the argument fresh. Don't become stale old news. By the way, that's what they're trying to do with Hillary and the emails and the scandals and all that stuff, right? They're trying to make all that become old news. That's why they won't report on it. It's all old news. See, listen, this isn't just happening. There's a scheme and a tactic, the strategy behind everything they're doing. Number eight. Oh, baby. Keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them from the flank with something new. Signs today, in the restrooms tomorrow. In the restrooms tomorrow, in the aisles the next day. Never let them know what you're going to do. It's just calling football play, isn't it? Just keep them off balance. Keep the pressure up and keep them off balance. That's why I thought it was critical when I went and almost got arrested that we needed to come back right away. Came back again the next night. I'll bet you this, that lady, that girl at Target, I bet when she got up the first thing this morning, you know what she thought of when she got up this morning? Mwah. What's that guy going to do today? That's a good position to be in, guys. Number nine, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Wow. You could preach there. Imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than any activist. You scare them, you get started living inside their head, and the threat of what might happen will be the greatest restraining power that they'll ever have over you. Fear of what they might do. 10. The major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. It is the unceasing pressure that results in the reactions from the opposition that are essential for the success of the campaign. You have to keep pressure on them so they react and make a mistake or capitulate. We are the aggressors. We force them to react. Now think about this. What game does the church play? The church sits back and they come after us and we react. We capitulate. We don't like it. We don't know how to fight. 11, we've got three more. 11, if you push a negative hard enough, a negative now, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. That's why at some point the picture of me with handcuffs on being let out will become a very powerful picture. Why? Because they've seen that I've tried to be law-abiding, I've tried to appeal and do everything I can, we've won people to our side, and now they're going to look and say, oh my goodness. What did Hillary say? Right-wing conspiracy. What does Obama say? It's race. You just don't like me because I'm a black guy. Always trying to play the victim because it makes us feel guilty that we're piling on the victim. Number 12, man, it's quarter up. The price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem. Oh, yeah? Hey, well, Coach, rape and incest, what do you think? You think if your daughter gets raped that she ought to have the baby? You have a solution to that answer? When somebody says that to you, you have a solution? You better have. Well, ma'am, why would we kill the baby because of what the daddy did? And as horrible as it is, if she can just hang on for 9 months, she can adopt it and give life to somebody and make good out of it. We can turn that around and make good. Have to have an answer. You have to have a viable response. And number 13. Here it is. Oh, man. Pick the target. Target, get that? Pick the target. Freeze it. Personalize it and polarize it. Pick target, stay on target, freeze target, and polarize it, and get people to be mad at target. Cut this off the support network, isolate the target from sympathy, go after the people and not institution. People hurt faster than institutions hurt. That's why the press about me is always negative. It's always negative. Why are they doing that? Well, they're going to freeze it, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. They're going to get everybody to stay away from me. He's a troublemaker. It's all he does is troublemaker. And then Jesse Meeks says, yeah, I got to stay away from that coach, man. I stay away from him. And pastors sit in their pulpits and they watch me out on the street and they say, oh, so they tell their congregation, well, folks, we have to learn to be more Christian in our approach. Because why? They've frozen me. They've targeted me, frozen me, personalized it. It's all about coach. It's all about coach. It's all about coach. And then make people pick sides. That's how they win. What do you think? Nobody thinks? 13 rules for radicals. Do you see this at work in the culture and why they're successful what they're doing? Kevin? Can't hear you yet, Kev. I think it's on your end, Kevin. Well, we're waiting for Kevin to get squared up or trying to turn on. You should be able to go right above there. Kevin says unmute.
And hey, Dave.
There. Yeah, go, Rog.
I'll go to him. When he's ready, tell him I'll butt out. But real quick, okay. Again, this emphasizes we're in a battle. Mm-hmm. There is evil and there is good.
And they have a strategy, Roger.
The good does not understand that this is a battle. And the men's group that meets for prayer constantly believes that's the only weapon to use.
That's right.
They believe there is no other weapon. And the pastor is afraid to hand them a shotgun.
Well, he doesn't know his enemy's weapons either, Roger. The scripture tells us not to be ignorant of his devices, and we are. We don't realize what's going on.
Yeah. See, the question would be to the men out there in a group setting, tell me what is going on. Who is the enemy, and what are they trying to do? I don't know that they can answer it.
I would say that they can't. I'd agree with you. Steven, Kevin, are you up yet, bud?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Okay. First time I heard of Rules of Radicals, strangely enough, was on the NEA website where they had it on the recommended reading list. That might be interesting.
Is that right? The National Education Reading List.
Yes. Highly recommended. Another thing I wanted to bring up, I can't remember who I was talking with, but it was a pastor, and I suggested that we look at Rules of Radicals as a tool that we could use for us because it's being used against us. Of course, I got rebuked for that whole idea. Mm. I thought it was interesting that you brought that up today, and it's definitely... You know, I mean, things can be used for good, things can be used for evil. And I think these strategies are excellent for street warfare, spiritual warfare. You know your enemy.
Kevin, Jesus told us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Now, I always thought, Lord, why would I want to be as wise as a snake? That don't even make sense. I'd be wise as an owl or wise as a fox, but wise as a snake? See, he's saying, study your enemy.
You're dealing with a snake.
Study him. Be like him, except don't do anything bad. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Stephen.
Yeah.
Stephen.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment that you focus too much on the enemy. Too much on Satan's kingdom. I had to throw that out there because when you try talking about these type of things, now you gotta love them. You gotta give them the gospel. You gotta give them the Jesus. You can't. Okay. Well, how do you conduct spiritual warfare if you don't understand what you're going against?
Steven, while I was coaching football, I told our guys, "Hey, Dylan, knock his freaking helmet off." And then pick it up for him. Right? Knock his helmet off and then pick it up for him. We've got to fight. We're in a war. And for whatever reason, we haven't figured that one out. Anybody? Jesse?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was talking to some guys at work about this issue at Target and what you'd already done. And there's several people from my work willing to go to Wichita. And assault their Target bathroom as well. And maybe it's time to do a little more cross-country organization.
Jesse, we're doing that. I got a conference call Friday night about that, brother. That's exactly why we're organizing. We're going to have a nationwide protest against Planned Parenthood. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to listen, not initially. If you guys have been watching what I've been doing, watching the strategy that we're... I'm guessing the enemy's watching this now, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. I'm using their playbook. We're starting out very nice and loving and law-abiding and appealing to the authorities to do what's right. And we just got to continue to amp it up and amp it up and amp it up and amp it up. And finally, when we get to the point where we have to take more drastic action, the public opinion is going to be, hey, they did everything they could. They did everything they could, and nobody would listen to them. rather than going in right away and throwing our weight around, we're playing this. I'm telling you, we are playing this game perfectly. But it's going to come to a climax. There's going to be a big battle that's going to take place. But when we get there, we're going to have most of the public opinion on our side. Right now, the media is trying to do everything to turn them against us. We're bigoted. We're homophobes. We're hate mongers. We don't care about people. All that. See, they're creating the dialogue. Nah, we're not going to let that happen anymore. So Jesse, great suggestion, and we are going to do that. Now, guys, anybody else? Because here's a great question. Why are we not being taught this in our church? Why are we not being taught this? I mean, I would imagine you guys right here, I could be wrong, you probably have all heard of rules for radicals. How many have ever actually seen the 13 rules? Anybody ever seen them? Hear about them? But do you understand what the enemy's doing to you? Do you understand when you walk out what they're going to do, what their tactics is? 13 things, that's what they're going to do to you. And you shouldn't be surprised when it happens. When they do it to you, you should have a response. You should be prepared for it and have a response. So when you read those rules again, and I hope you go back and look at them later, know this. Remember, Alinsky said, always have a solution. Always have a solution. So when they do something to you, you better have that solution as soon as they do it. You better be able to counter it. Last night, I must have told that reporter 100 times, it's not about transgender men. It's about straight men, regular perverted men walking into women's bathrooms. I told him 100 times, and he almost got it. He almost got it. But he's being programmed the other way, that I hate homos. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. No, no, no. It's not about that. It's about my wife and my daughter. My wife and my daughter. Change it. Freeze it. Freeze it. Target it and freeze it. It's about my wife and daughters. Wife and daughters. What about the transgender? What about, I don't know. I don't know about that. What about my wife and daughters? Understand? Control it. Control the debate. Don't let them drag you into the weeds and beat you up, which is what they love to do. And we cannot defend ourselves, guys, if we don't know what their rules are. Why the heathen rage? Huh? The Lord's watching it, and he's saying, come on, boys. Verse 8, ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. He says, boys, it's all yours, but it's a war. And we're going to have to go take it. And we heard right from the devil himself through Saul Alinsky how they're doing it. Because Saul Alinsky dedicated the book to who? Lucifer. So he has given us the devil's playbook. And when we get our butt beat, it's because we're ignorant of his devices. And the Lord told us you shouldn't be that. You guys are too smart to fall for that crap. That's the gospel according to I Say It. That's what the Lord would say. You too.
Start looking at CVS too.
CVS?
That CVS, yeah. I heard an ad this morning that they're teaming up with Target.
We'll keep an eye on them. Kroger, did you see what happened to Kroger? That, guys, listen, don't miss the blowback that's going on all around you. Kroger store came out with a statement yesterday, and they explained what their bathrooms are, and their family bathrooms. And they explained that a dad can go in with his daughter, and a mother can go in with her son, and they have changing rooms, but they are very specific on men in this room and women in this room, and there may be a time when a man has to go into this room, and it's only because of this reason. Very, very specific. So the fact that Kroger made a comment tells us what? They're watching. We're having an impact.
They're watching.
Right? They're watching. They're having an impact. We are having an impact. Cool. Good.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, just something to think about here as you guys kind of continue on with this Target issue, and it's been really interesting as I've kind of watched, you know, I'm on the internet a lot, different forums and stuff, you know, not all of them are, you know, there's a couple that I'd say, you know, are Christian forums, but then there's a lot of that I'm on that are just either conservative or, you know, I'm on one that's a Trump forum because, you know, I kind of like the guy, and I'm pretty well read across the board, but when I read these comments, a lot of people are waking up to the devices and the plan of the enemy and of the left and of these, you know, these social justice warriors who want to tear down. Now, these people aren't all Christians. They just think they want to tear down Western culture, but I think those things are really tied together.
They are.
You know, hey, I want everybody to be a Christian at the end of the day, but I find a lot of hope seeing that even these non-Christians are waking up and wanting to be allies with us in the fight for some of these traditional Western values.
And it is good.
And it's blowing my mind how many people are bringing this back to the gay marriage thing. And even people who, you know, online, they're like, well, I don't have a problem with gay marriage, but this is just another step in the direction of the destruction of Western values and family values. And if we continue to let these things go on, what's going to happen? And I think a lot of young people are waking up. A lot of young
Praise
people
God.
Are raised in good homes, maybe not Christian homes, Christian maybe homes. Not followers of Christ, but they're waking up.
Brother, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. So listen, on your Facebook page, just watch now. When you make a statement, watch how it becomes a personal attack on you. It's a strategy. It's a strategy to humiliate you. It's a strategy. Don't fall for it. Man, it's been a good morning. It's been a great day. Chew on this. We ought to be winning this battle. God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.